If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to the Court Case Podcast with me, your host, James Court.
And Sweet Tea.
We have got a great show for you today. We're well in the thick of 2022 now, and we've got some classic Florida man stories for you. We're going to be talking about the escape from Alcatraz in 1962 and whether we think the inmate survived or not. All of that, it's all coming right after this.
Hello there, I'm David Tennant, and you're listening to the Court Case Podcast.
So, Sweet Tea, Florida man, Florida stories, that's what we want. Is it a Florida man or a Florida woman? Doesn't matter. They're all doing weird stuff over there.
Yeah, like literally, I'm not even being funny. If you just search up like Florida news, you'll just reading the headlines, you'll be like, what the...
Like this one, case in point. Florida man breaks into Florida woman's home to pet the family cat.
Like... Not really a big crime, but very, very strange.
He's been arrested because he came back a second time.
He just loves a cat.
I know. A St. Petersburg, Florida mother said she is grateful she wasn't harmed when a man broke into her home on November 20th around 3:30 a.m. and began petting her cat.
It's a very strange time to want to pet a cat.
Yeah, 3:30 a.m. Well, he probably thought that no one else was going to be petting the cat at that time.
True.
Perfect time to break in and pet it. Brittany Klein said she was in a dead sleep when a cat jumped off the bed and woke her up. When I opened my eyes, I could see the shadow of a man standing
scary.
At the end of my bed, Klein said. He was standing perfectly still. I said hello, and when I said hello, he dropped very slowly down to the ground. As soon as I saw the shadow move down to the ground, I knew somebody was there. Klein grabbed her phone and turned on the light to see a man crouched at the foot of her bed, petting her cat. The man panicked, of course, she said. I said, what are you doing? Get out of my house. And he looked at me very calmly and said, hey. Turned around, walked back to my doorway. From there, Klein said he disappeared into the night. Little did she know, the man who St. Petersburg police arrested on Wednesday morning was her neighbour. Jasper Fiorenza was charged with burglary. Klein said detectives were able to pull a fingerprint off her bedroom door. It's very fortunate I had the baby gate in the doorway, Klein said. That's where they pulled the print from, so he had to put his hand on the doorframe to climb over the baby gate. The 24-year-old Fiorenza was arrested for simple battery and grand theft in 2014, so his fingerprints were in the police database. Fiorenza lives with his father, street over from Klein's home. Klein says on Wednesday, undercover detectives tracked Fiorenza from his dad's home, trying to break into other homes in the neighbourhood, including hers, and Klein says he was doing it at the same time he broke into her home less than 2 weeks earlier. Right, interesting.
That's so random.
That's the scariest thing. Had my cat not jumped off the bed and woken me up, would have I woken up with a man on top of me in the middle of the night? I hope he goes to prison for a long time. So he could have done worse than pet the cat.
Could have done much worse, but he didn't do much worse.
Yes.
And people have done much worse. But I'm not going to lie, if you woke up in the middle of the night and your cat jumps off you, like making a noise or whatever, and you see some shadow at the end of your bed, terrifying.
Yeah, I know.
Not a fan.
Just to give you guys another sort of idea of what sort of Florida man stories you could find, simply by typing the words Florida man into
Reddit.
Google or Reddit. Florida man wears the police t-shirt to court, wins case against police. You stupid bitch, grown Florida man allegedly punched 16-year-old girl who accidentally cut him off in traffic.
My God.
Florida man calls 911 when McDonald's gets his order wrong and says he has cocaine in his butt.
Is this the same Florida man?
Can
is what
you imagine
I want to
if
know.
It was?
Like, he's just going around like pranking everyone, or like there's like a group of them. Like, you go and do this today, you go and do that, and we'll all like convene and say how it went.
Yeah,
we're gonna make a headline.
So,
you know?
Florida man gets kicked off plane for wearing panties on his face. Right, so he's wearing women underwear on his face.
Very strange.
Off. But there was an update to his story where it said, Florida man who was kicked off a United Airlines flight over wearing a red thong on his face instead of a face mask compared himself to civil rights pioneer Rosa Parks. So you know the, back in the civil rights days, the black woman that refused to give up her seat on the bus.
Oh.
To the white people that would sit there.
That's
the historic pioneer of a woman. And he compared himself to being
how
kicked off a plane for wearing underwear on his face.
Oh my God, they're deluded, aren't they?
That's so great.
We were out with dinner with a friend the other day, and James told me the story of the Alcatraz escape.
Yes, yes.
And I didn't know anything about it, so we're just going to touch on it on the podcast and see if anybody else knew about it, and if not, then we can all discuss it and learn.
Yes, I'm sure everyone has heard of the Alcatraz prison, and you might have heard possibly that, you know, there was an escape from Alcatraz prison at some point or something, but it is an extremely interesting tale. It's, you know, it's something court casey, so this is something we can discuss, because obviously there was a manhunt, there was an escape from a prison.
Yeah.
It's amazing, and there's a conspiracy theory, there's lots of theories on whether the inmates survived or not, whether they were still alive to this day or to very recently, because it was a while ago. And I wanted to go through it with you, T, and our audience, and I want to get your take on it. So let me get the story up. Here it is. So I thought we would start. So it happened in 1962.
Mm-hmm.
So Alcatraz is a prison that is on the coast of San Francisco, and it was a little island that's swimming distance away from San Francisco that there was a prison on. It's closed now, but you can do tours, you can do historic tours.
We might post like a photo of it to promote the
good
episode
idea
as well.
Very good idea. And Alcatraz, this escape is well covered when you do like the tours of Alcatraz and things like that. So it was four inmates did the escape, only three managed to escape though, and they were Frank Morris, two brothers, John and Clancy Anglin, and a man called Alan West. And I thought I'd just go through the inmates first. So the first one, who was thought of as the mastermind of the escape, was called Frank Lee Morris, and he spent a lot of his childhood in foster homes. He was convicted of his first criminal offence at 13 years old.
Oh my God.
And by his late teens had been arrested for crimes ranging from narcotics possession to armed robbery. He spent most of his early years in jail serving lunch to prisoners. Later, he was arrested for grand larceny in Miami Beach. Now, we don't think we have larceny in the UK. I think larceny is like armed robbery, I think.
Oh, okay.
I think that's what grand
just
larceny is.
Just another word for it.
Yeah, I believe so. Morris reportedly ranked in the top 2% of the general population in intelligence as measured by IQ testing. He had an IQ of 133. So he served time in Florida and Georgia, then escaped from the Louisiana State Penitentiary while serving 10 years for bank robbery. He was recaptured a year later while committing a burglary and sent to Alcatraz on January 20th, 1960.
So, oh my God, so only 2 years later did he try to escape.
So he's escaped from two prisons at this point, which is amazing. So then there were two brothers.
Which is really great that this prisoner's escaped. Yeah, so cool, James.
I do think it's incredible that he's managed to escape from two prisons. But
yeah, no, that is, it is like,
obviously that bit's not good. The bit that he's a criminal is not good.
Yeah.
So John and Clarence Anglin, two brothers, are the next two inmates. The Anglin brothers, John William and Clarence, born into a family of 13 in Georgia. Their family were farmers in tomato fields. Clarence was the first caught breaking into a service station when he was 14 years old. The brothers began robbing banks and other establishments as a team in the early 1950s, usually targeting businesses that were closed to ensure that no one got injured. Well, that's...
I guess there's some sort of fault there.
Yep. They claimed that they used a weapon only once during a bank heist, a toy gun. In 1958, John Clarence and Alfred Anglin, so a third brother, robbed the Columbia Savings Bank building in Columbia, Alabama. All received 35-year sentences, which they served at Florida State Penitentiary and then Atlanta prison. After repeated attempts to escape from Atlanta facility, John and Clarence were transferred to Alcatraz. John on October 24th, 1960, and Clarence on January 10th, 1961. So there were three brothers, but only two ended up going to Alcatraz.
And there was a bit of a difference. One was in October, and the next one wasn't until January the following year. Wow.
And the final member of the Alcatraz escape was a man called Alan West, who was born in New York City.
He has the same birthday as you. December 21st.
No, that was his death date. He died December 21st, 1970. Yeah, but fair enough. I'll remember that next birthday. I'll be like, RIP Alan West. So he was arrested 20 times throughout his lifetime. He was in prison for car theft in 1955. Also went from Atlanta Penitentiary to Florida State Prison. So all of these prisoners seem to have commuted. Gone from Atlanta, Florida, yeah. Alcatraz. Yeah. After an escape attempt from the Florida facility, he was transferred to Alcatraz in 1957. At the age of 28.
So it's so ironic. So they moved them from somewhere that they escaped to somewhere that they don't think that they can escape, yep. But they escaped.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
So here is the run. Here is the story of the escape. So the four inmates all knew each other from previous incarcerations in Florida and Georgia, which obviously we've just talked about. When they were assigned adjacent cells in December 1961, they began...
Adjacent mean next door to each other?
Yeah, so basically either next door or opposite each other down the same sort of row. They began formulating an escape plan under the leadership of Morris, so Frank, the guy with the biggest IQ.
We must have been through this 50 times already.
And we'll go through it another 50 if that's what it takes.
Over the subsequent 6 months, they widened the ventilation ducts beneath their sinks using discarded saw blades found on the prison grounds, metal spoons from the mess hall, and an electric drill improvised from the motor of a vacuum cleaner.
That must have been so much hard work.
That is smart, though. I remember seeing someone on Reddit, like a prison guard, say that it really shows that if you have the will and you want to get something done, you will make something out of something.
Oh, yeah. Like, a spoon, and he's managed to like break a wall.
He made a drill out of a vacuum cleaner.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's mad.
Wow.
So the men concealed their work with painted cardboard and masked the noise with Morris's accordion on top of the ambient dim of the music hour.
See, they thought of it all. They thought of it all.
So they got one of them to play an instrument while the other guy was using the drill.
Oh my God.
I guess we got a tune to work to, fellas.
So fantastic. And they must have passed the drill between each other in the cells too. Amazing. Once the holes were wide enough to pass through, the men accessed the unguarded utility corridor directly behind their cells and climbed to the vacant top level of the cell block, where they set up a workshop. Here, using over 50 raincoats, among other stolen and donated materials...
Boys in the laundry stashed the parts.
They constructed life preservers, based on a design one of them found in a magazine. They also assembled a 6x14-foot rubber raft, the seams carefully stitched by hand and sealed with heat from nearby steam pipes. Paddles were improvised from scrap wood and screws. Finally, they climbed a ventilation shaft to the roof and removed the rivets, holding a large fan in place. To get access to the roof.
Oh my God.
So they managed to make life preservers, so life jackets and a raft out of 50 raincoats.
That's crazy, isn't it? They thought of it all.
Yep. The men concealed their absence while working outside their cells and after the escape itself by sculpting dummy heads from a homemade paper mache-like mixture of soap, toothpaste, concrete dust and toilet paper and giving them a realistic appearance with paint from the maintenance shop and hair from the barbershop floor. With towels and clothing piled under the blankets in their bunks.
Sorry, do you think that they nicked that stuff or they asked for it?
Probably nicked it. I mean, the stuff from the barbershop floor, yeah, they could have nicked. No one would have missed
stray hair. Oh, yeah, but I mean, like
hair.
The paint and stuff. Like, if they can't, it just feels like a massive pot of paint. Like, how would that...
I would assume they would have the prisoners do jobs. One of them be painting.
Yeah,
and they probably stole a bit of the paint.
Yeah, true.
To paint it. With towels and clothing piled under the blankets in their bunks and the dummy heads positioned on the pillows, they appeared to be sleeping. So, the escape happened on June the 11th, 1962. So cast your mind back then. That's quite a long time ago now. We're talking 60 years. No, Frank, 70 years.
Frank was only in there for like a year and a half over there as well.
I aim to get off this rock.
Because he went in that January.
He's a smart man. He went straight in. He was like, I'm sorting out this plan.
Yeah. And plus, like, what is also crazy is they all trusted each other that no one was going to dob on them.
Yeah. Well, I assumed that the brothers obviously trusted each other.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, they didn't come up with the plan. It was Frank. Mm. So they trusted Frank that wasn't going to dob on them and vice versa.
Yeah. It must have been the fact that they knew each other from previous prison visits.
I think that helped.
That they were confident to trust each other. So on the night of June the 11th, 1962, with all preparations in place, the men initiated their plan.
9:30, lights out. God begins his rounds.
West discovered that the cement he had used to reinforce crumbling concrete around his vent had hardened, narrowing the opening and fixing the grill in place. By the time he managed to remove the grill and rewiden the hole, the others had left without him.
He returned
to his cell and went to sleep.
You've been in the joint too long, Al. You've forgotten how to get done.
Now, the thing is with that is I don't think that would have been out of... They probably didn't leave
Oh, they probably
him.
Didn't know.
Yeah, one, yeah. Either they didn't know or they didn't have a choice. They had a short time window to do this and they had to leave West behind.
Yeah.
So that's why Alan West, one, wasn't arrested because he was already in prison, and two, why he didn't escape because his hole shrank.
Didn't go to plan.
Yeah. So from the service corridor, Morris and the aliens.
I love how it's like, oh no, they left him to escape prison. Like, no, that's not a good thing.
From the service corridor, Morris and the Anglins climbed the ventilation shaft to the roof. Guards heard a loud crash as they broke out of the shaft, but nothing further was heard, and the source of the noise was not investigated. Why?
That's a bit silly.
Yeah. Hauling the gear with them, they descended 50 feet to the ground by sliding down a kitchen vent pipe, then climbed two 12-foot barbed wire perimeter fences.
Oh.
At the northeast shoreline near the power plant, a blind spot in the prison's network of searchlights and gun towers, they inflated their raft with a concertina stolen from another inmate and modified to serve as a bellows.
How the bloody hell did they manage to nick a raft?
No, they made it, remember? They made it out of 50 raincoats.
Okay, reworded. How the fuck did they make a raft out of 50 raincoats?
Well, it said that they sewed it and then they used the heat from nearby steam pipes to, like, heat seal.
How do they think of that stuff?
He's clever, old Frank.
Yeah.
Frankie.
Oh, you better be right about this, Weasel.
Come on, hurry it up!
So at some time after 10 p.m, investigators estimated, they boarded the raft, launched it, and departed toward their objective, Angel Island, 2 miles to the north.
So do you think they know all this information because of Alan West? Or
yes.
Do you think, because obviously they haven't been found, so how do they definitely know all of that stuff? It would have been from him.
Alan West fully complied with the police during the investigation, which we will get to in a moment. But that is basically how they know all of this.
I was going to say, because that wouldn't make sense if they knew that.
So, the escape was not discovered until the morning of June 12th due to the successful dummy head ruse, which, if you visit Alcatraz, they have the dummy heads there. They've got them still.
Yeah. See. The ones that they made to distract the guards, yeah.
Multiple military and law enforcement agencies conducted an extensive air, sea and land search over the next 10 days. On June 14th, a Coast Guard cutter picked up a paddle floating about 200 yards off the southern shore of Angel Island. On the same day, and in the same general location, workers on another boat found a wallet wrapped in plastic, complete with names, addresses and photos of the Anglin's friends and relatives.
I didn't think you allowed your wallet on you when you were in prison.
It sounds like he had made a wallet. It said it was found a wallet wrapped in plastic. Oh, maybe. Well, maybe.
Like a wallet wrapped in plastic so it doesn't get wet. That's what I would assume.
I guess maybe he was allowed it because it didn't have anything except photos of loved ones.
True, I guess so, yeah.
So that might be why he was allowed it in prison.
Yeah.
On June 21st, shreds of raincoat material believed to be remnants of the raft were found on the beach not far from the Golden Gate Bridge. The following day, a prison boat picked up a deflated life jacket made from the same material off Alcatraz Island. According to the final FBI report, no other physical evidence was ever found.
Whoa.
During that search. I don't know if they found any more later.
Yeah.
FBI agents surmised early on that the men had drowned. They cited the fact that the individual's personal effects were the only belongings they had, and the men would have drowned before leaving them behind. I don't know if that's true.
But where's their bodies then, if they drowned, you know?
No human remains were found at the time, and in fact have been found ever. On July 17th, a month after the escape, a Norwegian ship spotted a body floating in the ocean 15 nautical miles from the Golden Gate Bridge. The ship did not retrieve the body.
What?
Well, it wasn't like a police thing.
Oh, like it was like a massive ship.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, fair enough. But surely you would still call somebody to go and investigate it.
I think they did. But...
Sorry, I'm like... I might be skipping what you were going to say.
Fine. Ask your question.
I'm getting passionate.
It's good to have an inquisitive mind. The ship did not retrieve the body and did not report the sighting until October. They noticed the body in July.
That's so bizarre.
That hinders the investigation somewhat.
Just a bit.
But San Francisco County Coroner Henry Turkle cast doubt on speculation that it could have been one of the escapees, emphasising the improbability that a body would still be floating on the surface of the ocean after more than a month, which he has got a point
there. True, very true,
actually.
Something
would have picked that off. Instead, Turkle proposed that the corpse may have been that of Cecil Herman, a 34-year-old unemployed baker who had jumped from the Golden Gate Bridge 5 days earlier.
Ah, right.
So, most likely him. Several commoners...
Still, it's not very nice that they decided to just, you know, go past it and not say anything. And like, and then
October.
They woke up on October and said, oh, shit, we saw that body in July. I should probably say something about that.
Yeah.
So bizarre.
Yeah. So, the FBI investigators announced their official position that while it was theoretically possible for the men to have reached Danger Island, the odds of their having survived the turbulent currents and frigid waters of the bay were negligible.
They're dead. All right, can I go now?
According to the final FBI report, West said that they had planned to steal clothes and a car upon reaching land, but no such thefts were reported in the immediate area. Well, I disagree with the FBI, and I want to, and there is going to be stuff that I'll go into here, where I think that there were thefts and there were things stolen in the immediate area, and I do think they escaped, and not only that, I think they lived quite a long life afterwards.
Yeah, I personally, if they haven't found any bodies or anything like that, and to be fair, they seem very smart, I feel like they would have thought about it all. Like, I highly doubt they would have gone through all that effort, made a raft, made like an exit, and then they... drown.
I don't know.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think that would have happened.
I don't know how he would have done it, whether it be using the radio or something, but I feel like Frank Morris would have taken the weather into account when he was planning his escape.
Oh, 100%.
I think he would have, if he
would have thought of it all, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I personally think the FBI at the time were probably saying that they probably drowned because they didn't want the negligence to go.
They didn't want to be like, oh yeah, someone can escape Alcatraz, what are we going to do about
as
that
well,
now?
As well as promote other prisoners to do the same.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So West was the only conspirator not to participate in the actual escape. Obviously, he went back to bed.
Yeah.
He fully cooperated with the investigation and was therefore not charged for his role.
Crazy.
So there you go. But he was then transferred to Washington when Alcatraz was deactivated in 1963. So only a year after this escape, was when they closed
Alcatraz.
So that
makes sense then. They just didn't. So they obviously deemed it as unsafe and mm-hmm. very escapable, but they didn't want to admit that. So they just shut it. Just shut the prison.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Crazy.
So he did and he finished his sentence. After serving his sentence, he was released in 1967, only to be arrested again in Florida the following year on charges of grand larceny. So West liked himself a prison cell.
Just when they thought I was out, they pull me back in.
Yeah, basically. What I find crazy as well is like those people that if they did escape, let's say, and they lived a long life, so the brothers and Frank, they would be absolute idiots to commit another crime.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So hopefully they've kind of taken it as like, we've escaped, we're out, let's just, you know, be good and be low-key for the rest of our lives.
Mm-hmm. So to finish off West's story, for us in this, when he was at Florida State Prison, he fatally stabbed another inmate in 1972 in what may have been a racially motivated incident. He was serving multiple sentences, including life imprisonment on the murder conviction, when he died in 1978 on my birthday.
So, what did he die of? Did it say?
It said acute peritonitis, which I don't know what that is.
Oh, no idea. You can on this website, you can normally like click on it and find out.
Yeah, it's an inflammation of the peritoneum, the lining on the inner wall of the abdomen. So infection.
That sounds very painful.
Yeah. That's the end of West's story. So we've got three inmates left, the three that actually escaped.
Yeah, the two brothers and Frank.
So because Alcatraz cost more to operate than other prisons, That's why they said it was closed in March 1963.
A nice excuse.
Yep.
You also, James also told me something quite cool as well, is that the inmates, they ate really well there and they had hot showers because they didn't want them to get used to the cold showers like they do in other prisons have cold showers. They didn't want them to get used to that because obviously the sea was cold. So people like Frank and the brothers were probably very... not used to the cold water because they have hot showers, and which I thought was very clever of like to think of stuff like that, and also with food as well, because they didn't have much room on the ship to deliver like the foods and the goods for the prison. Everybody ate the same, so all the prison guards and everything like that, and the inmates, they all ate the same, so they ate really well as well.
Yeah,
which is really interesting because obviously I bet a lot of prisoners in different prisons wanted to go to this prison.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, prisoners actually wanted the transfer to Alcatraz. Yeah. Funnily enough, the FBI closed its file on December 31st, 1979. After a 17-year investigation, their official finding was that the prisoners most likely drowned in the cold water of the bay while attempting to reach Angel Island. Which I don't agree
with. So they've just ruled it as that and left it closed, like closed the case.
Yeah, but the US Marshal still has an active warrant out for the arrest. So, but the warrant will expire on 2030 when all of the missing men would be at least 100 years old.
Oh, okay.
So the FBI have closed their investigation, but the US Marshal Service still has a warrant out for their arrest.
So if they're all at least 100 in 2030 and it's now 2022, they're probably around 27, 28. No, not 20, sorry, 27, 28. That's not what I meant. I meant 93.
Yeah.
Probably around that age.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
So we're going to get to the reported sightings now. So they have escaped the prison at this point. And in January 1965, the FBI investigated a rumour that Clarence Anglin, so one of the brothers, was living in Brazil. Agents were dispatched to South America but found no direct evidence that he was there. You've got to think in these instances, how thorough was their investigation? Brazil is a... You know, how thorough was their investigation, you know, that sort of thing. A man called the Bureau in 1967, claiming to have been Morris's classmate and to have known him for 30 years. He said that he had bumped into him in Maryland and described him as having a small beard and mustache, but refused to give further details. So we're getting dribs and drabs of people here. Now, the things with the family members, particularly of the Anglin brothers, is what brings a lot of my... reasoning into why I think they're still alive into
this.
You don't turn your back on family.
The family members of the Anglin brothers occasionally received postcards and messages over the years. Most were unsigned. One was signed Jerry and another Jerry and Joe. The family also produced a Christmas card purportedly received in the family mailbox in 1962 saying, "To Mother from John, Merry Christmas." Another of the Anglin's 11 siblings, Robert, also said that sometimes the phone would ring and all that could be heard was breathing on the other end. Robert said, "I suppose all that could have been pranks, but maybe it was my brother's." The mother of the Anglin brothers received flowers anonymously every Mother's Day until her death in 1973, and two very tall, unusual women in heavy makeup were reported to have attended her funeral.
Whoa.
Federal officials say that in the mid to late 1960s and into the 1970s, there were 6 or 7 sightings reported of the Anglin brothers, all in North Florida or Georgia. Robert said that in 1989, when the father of the Anglin brothers died, 2 strangers in beards showed up at the funeral home. According to Robert, they stood in front of the casket looking at the body a few minutes. They wept, then they walked out.
My God, who else would it be? Like, that makes so much sense. That's crazy. Also, if they're, like, still, like, around America, like, they haven't gone to another country, like, they're still in states around America, like, they're getting away with it. Like, they're literally, like, walking
proper off grid
the ground and, like, no one's really coming after them. They've just kind of, you know, left them to do these kind of things. And it's crazy that they were getting away with that.
2 tall women in really heavy makeup.
Surely someone would like go up to them and ask them like, "Oh, what's your relation to them?" Yeah. Like, it's bizarre.
It's very, very strange.
But that, that seems very believable to me. Like,
I completely agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. In 1989, a woman who identified herself only as Kathy called Unsolved Mysteries to tip line to report that a photo of Clarence Anglin matched the description of a man who lived on a farm near Mariana, Florida. Another woman also recognised the photo of Clarence Anglin and said he lived near Mariana. She correctly identified his eye colour, height and other physical features. Another witness claimed that a sketch of Frank Morris bore a striking resemblance to a man she had seen in the same area.
Oh my God.
So those are people in Florida as well. So the funeral stuff all happened in Florida.
Yeah.
And these two people in the same town...
So they just decided to stay around Florida area or like happily go back to Florida area. People apparently are tipping them off and still no one went after them.
To be fair, for them anyway, Florida is the complete other side of America to San Francisco. So, I mean, they've still fled quite a fair way.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
But then again...
Yeah, but if people are tipping them off, surely they'll go and investigate it.
Yeah, no, that's right. And also, well, to be fair, they also spent time in Florida State Penitentiary, so they're not far from places they've been before.
Exactly.
Weird.
Yeah. Weird.
So, here's an interesting one. A day after the escape, a man claiming to be John Anglin called a lawyer in San Francisco to arrange a meeting with the US Marshal's Office. When McGowan refused, the caller terminated the phone.
Why would he want to have a meeting with them then?
I assume that he wanted a lawyer to, I don't know, to maybe bribe or sort of some pardon or something like that. I don't know.
Interesting. But
they said John called a lawyer. Well, after they'd escaped.
That's very strange. It's like they're almost like trying to rub it in and like they're enjoying it, you know?
Yeah. Robert Chechi, a San Francisco police officer, said that at 1 a.m. on the morning of June 12th, he saw an illegal boat in the bay near Alcatraz. A few minutes later, the boat left, heading under the Golden Gate Bridge. This led to speculation that the prisoners might have enlisted outside Confederates to pick them up. Maybe.
Maybe.
Sorted out.
Might be a bit far-fetched.
Could
but...
you do your phone calls or something, maybe, Alcatraz, and they could have sorted out someone to come pick them up.
Very true. I like how that got brought up like so much later, like after. Like, how would you even have recollection of that, you know?
Someone did a deathbed confession about the escape.
Who?
A man named John Leroy Kelly dictated an extended deathbed confession to his nurse in 1993. Kelly claimed that he and a partner picked up Morris and the Anglins in a boat and transported them to the Seattle, Washington area. Later, under the guise of transporting them to Canada, Kelly and his partner murdered the escapees to get the £40,000 their families had collected for them. So this man in his deathbed claimed that he murdered Morris and the Anglins to get £40,000 from their families.
What?
So that's an interesting other thing, but is that true or not? Maybe. And now here's another one for the escape, is that Mythbusters tested the feasibility of the escape and they said that it was possible.
I feel like it's 100% possible. Like, they did escape. Whether they died after or whatever, they 100% escaped. Like,
this is the one. You know, earlier I said that the FBI said that there were no thefts or things of cars or anything afterwards.
Yeah.
So they did it in 2011. They did a documentary on National Geographic entitled Vanished from Alcatraz. And they reported that, contrary to the official FBI report, a raft was discovered on Angel Island on June 12th, the day after the escape, with footprints leading away from it. Furthermore, a 1955 blue Chevrolet was reported stolen in Marin County the same day, a claim corroborated by stories in the Times and the San Francisco Examiner. The following day, a motorist in California, 80 miles east of San Francisco, reported to the California Highway Patrol that he had been forced off the road by three men in a blue Chevrolet.
Oh my God, that's crazy that they originally tried to hide that information.
So they found a raft, they found footprints away from it, they found a car stolen,
and somebody else witnessed it.
In California was held up by three men in the same car.
Yeah, that's crazy. That makes so much sense that, like, that happened.
They obviously escaped. Yeah. I'm sorry, FBI.
And they lived there and they lived a fun life or whatever. Like, they still managed to attend their father's and mother's funeral and speak to their family and give their mother flowers. And I don't know, who knows where they were living and what they were up to. They probably didn't have a job or anything, but
I find some of these stories in this bit are very interesting.
See, that's the thing as well. Like, so if they escaped, obviously, they wouldn't have gotten a job because that would have been really ridiculous. So then how would they have actually have lived? Like, I guess
they might have been able to fake change their names.
That's what I'm thinking.
Small jobs, like on a farm or
something. That's what I'm thinking. Like, change their appearance a bit, get different names. Because there's no way they would have been able to live with zero income. And they couldn't exactly do some more burglary because then they'll get arrested again.
If they went to a different continent, which I do believe they spent a lot of time in South America after this, I think it would have been much easier to get a job.
Yeah, not everyone knew about them.
Mm. Yeah. Someone said here, the same year, an 89-year-old man named Bud Morris, who claimed he was a cousin of Frank, said that on 8 or 9 occasions prior to the escape, he delivered envelopes of money to Alcatraz guards, presumably as bribes. He further claimed to have met his cousin face-to-face in a San Diego park shortly after the escape. His daughter, who was 8 or 9 years old at the time, said she was present at the meeting with Dad's friend Frank, but had no idea about the escape.
Interesting.
Yeah.
See, these pieces of evidence, we can't prove if they're true, but they're so black and white. And like, they were doing nothing about them. They weren't investigating them.
Yeah. Here's something interesting that scientists did a study on the ocean currents around Alcatraz.
Mm.
And they concluded that if the prisoners left Alcatraz at 11:30 p.m., which was around the time that they did leave, they could have made it to Horseshoe Bay, just north of Gorfin Gate Bridge, and that any debris would have floated in the direction of Angel Island, which is consistent with where the paddle and the belongings were found.
Oh my God.
Mm.
You crazy son of a bitch, you're dead.
It's crazy. Yeah.
So they did more talks, more evidence gathered with the Anglin family as well. I think this is the main big bulk of evidence we've got left here. So the Anglin family displayed Christmas cards containing the Anglin's handwriting and allegedly received by family members for 3 years after the escape. While the handwriting was verified as the Anglin's, none of the envelopes contained a postmarked stamp, so experts could not determine when they had been delivered. The family cited a story from family friend Fred, who grew up with the brothers and claimed to recognise them in Rio de Janeiro in 1975, so in Brazil.
They moved on to Brazil, wow. Mm.
They produced photographs purportedly taken by Brizzy, including one of two men. I know, Fred Brizzy, his name is. Who, according to Brizzy, were John and Clarence Anglin standing next to a large termite mound. Other photos showed a Brazilian farm that Brizzy claimed was owned by the men. So they did own and work on a farm, it seems, in Brazil.
Right, okay. That answers my question, then. Mm-hmm. That makes sense now.
Forensic experts working for the family confirmed that the photos were taken in 1975 and asserted that the two men were more than likely the Anglins, although the age and condition of the photo and the fact that both men were wearing sunglasses hindered efforts to make a definitive determination.
Oh my God. So they literally just got away with this and they managed to just do whatever they wanted and no one was coming after them.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Mm.
And someone, a retired US Marshal who had once headed the investigation, said that Brizzy's photograph of the two men was absolutely the best actionable lead we'd had. It could still all be a nice story, which isn't true, that they died, you know?
Yeah.
But where's the thing that I found? Here we go. In January 2020, so January last year, an Irish creative agency and AI specialists used facial recognition techniques to conclude that the men in the photo were John and Clarence Anglin.
So, like, they would have run it through the system to see if that's what they...
Yeah, so they
like.
Would have gone old photos of John and Clarence. They would have used AI to study this photo that they've got of them in 1975, and they would have concluded that this was John and Clarence.
Wow.
So
that's
shut
so
up,
interesting.
FBI.
Yeah. Mm.
So Robert Anglin reportedly told family members before his death in 2010 that he had been in contact with John and Clarence from 1963 until around 1987. Surviving family members, who said they have heard nothing since Robert lost contact with the brothers, announced plans to travel to Brazil to conduct a personal search. But Roderick cautioned they could be arrested by Brazilian authorities because the Alcatraz escape remains an open Interpol case.
Damn.
And also, this was mad. I remember this coming out in the news 2 years ago. The FBI confirmed the existence of a letter in 2018, so bloody years and years after this escape, allegedly written by John Anglin and received by the police department in 2013. So John Anglin apparently wrote them a letter in 2013. The writer asserted that Frank Morris died in 2008 and was buried in Alexandria under a different name, and Clarence Anglin died in 2011. His purpose in writing the letter, he said, was to negotiate his surrender in exchange for medical treatment of his cancer.
Whoa.
Which, fair enough, I think 2008 and 2011 are very believable years that those two could have died. Because they were grown men in 1962, so that's quite a long time. Mm-hmm. They would have been in their 70s and 80s, and so
we just figured out that this year they would be around 94.
Yeah.
So in 2018, they probably would have been about 90, which is, you know, a really good age.
Yeah. So they got this letter in 2013, and so obviously which medical treatment costs money in America. Doesn't it?
Yeah.
So he was obviously saying, I'll have 1 year in prison, you pay for my medical treatment.
Damn.
And obviously they said
he
no.
was desperate.
And they must have thought something of the letter to not release it until 2018, which I reckon they were probably waiting until possibly well after he's died.
Yeah.
So yeah,
because they probably read it and they thought, he's got cancer, he's gonna die soon. Like,
I think the FBI proper covered this up, well, badly.
I don't know why though, like, they're on the side of wanting to them to be arrested. Like, I don't get why they would, like, because them hiding it is them protecting them.
Reputation's sake, I think.
But that's stupid. Like, people have committed a crime and they're rather their reputation. Like, why can't they just be like, hold my hands up. They've, you know, they're smart. They got out. We're going to obviously close Alcatraz now and make sure that all prisons are more secure. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I reckon maybe, obviously I've got no knowledge, I'm not a member of the FBI. I reckon they probably did some sort of judgment call on whether they deemed them a threat now that they'd escaped.
Yeah, they would have studied it hard.
I think they would have judged that because it would have, you know, they want to stay escaped, they weren't. And then I think they closed the investigation and said they'd died.
Yeah, I think. Like I said, like, they would be an idiot to commit another crime. Mm-hmm. And the only crime, by the sounds of it, that they committed was nicking that car.
It's the car. Yeah. That is what sold it to me, is they escaped. The fact that there's someone in a completely other state that had the same car with three men in it and was held up. Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
And the stuff about that, it would make such a great movie.
They need to make that into a movie.
The stuff about the two women at the funeral, mental.
Right, we've said it here first. We own rights to the movie. I'm joking. Yeah. That wouldn't work. Yeah. That wouldn't work because somebody's probably already... They might be filming it right now. We don't know.
yeah, but what do you guys think? Do you guys think they really escaped from Alcatraz prison? I would love to know what your guys' thoughts are. Do you think they died? Do you think they drowned?
Some people might have... what I also find interesting is when we like talk about these stories, is some people, like, they tell us other information that they have that we... you know, didn't find. And I just find that really cool, like, if they have other facts on the or knowledge of this, like, please let us know.
Awesome. There you go. Join us next episode.
Yeah, on that note.
For more amazing stories. If you've got anything that you want us to talk about, if you've got any relationship advice or interesting stories, then please message us at Court Case Podcast on Instagram or email us courtcasepodcast@gmail.com.
Thanks, guys.
See you soon.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.